Hello, and welcome to Rolling for Loot. I'm your host, Shakti.
And I'm your other host, Timotep, and this is episode 4. Today, we'll be discussing our favorite quest lines in the World of Warcraft, and warning, we may have a few spoilers here.
We're also going to be talking about what we'd like to see in future expansions as far as the storyline goes.
And if we're nice and we ask very politely, Shakti's going to give us an update of her latest escapades in the world of Diablo 3.
Even if you don't ask, I'll probably tell you anyway.
Yeah, she kind of is like that.
Yeah.
So, jumping right in.
Yes.
Our favorite quest line. This was a topic that that kind of got us both excited. One of the things we loved about World of Warcraft and have loved about World of Warcraft pretty much since the beginning are the stories embedded in the quests.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's no secret that those who know me know that I hate leveling. Let me say that again. I hate leveling, but there have been a few notable exceptions to that, which is, I think, what we're going to talk about. My first and foremost one is the Wrathgate quest.
That's number one for me, too.
Ending in the Veteran of the Wrathgate.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, let's count it down. It's, you're running all over the place, but it doesn't feel like you're running all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
You really feel like you're a part of this, and it does a lot to make you feel like you're part of the story, which is essential for this kind of a game, I think. Two, killer movie at the end. You know you've completed the quest because you get that really great video at the end. Three, is it not during that quest line that you defend or you attack and recapture Undercity?
Now, with Cataclysm, they've actually taken that part out of the game. So if you haven't had a chance to actually do this quest line, first of all, get your butt down to Dragonblight and do this quest line, because it's freaking awesome, starting right from getting the Tonka into the Horde, because you're the person who actually brings them into the Horde, and you're the person who helps swear them in. So starting right from there, like, you pretty much have to do the entire zone, unfortunately, because it is a giant zone. But you do that whole zone. Right now, the quest ends right at Veteran of Wrathgate. Prior to Cataclysm, you actually got to go into Undercity, and depending on your faction, you got to either attack Undercity or defend Undercity. You were going in to kill Verimathras or... I forget what the name of the guy is. Alchemist?
Spoiler.
Al Pacino? I don't remember the name of the guy who was, who the Alliance killed. Anyway. But you can now go onto YouTube and actually see videos of the entire fight. So
it was awesome.
Yes.
The fight in Undercity. You got to be an elite and you got to run rampage on all kinds of other tunes.
Yep.
I did it on my mage. As a frost mage, and it was the most fun to watch these 75,000 point damage numbers scrolling on my screen as I was AoEing the hell out of everything around me. It was the epitome of what I think epic really is, and I really hope that Blizzard brings those kinds of quest lines back.
Mm-hmm.
That's all sort of the same quest line, although now. You can't attack or defend Undercity anymore, unfortunately. But the rest of the quest is still—it's still a great quest. It's well written. It's well constructed. It's put together, and you're not standing in the same camp 12 feet from a quest giver who says, "Go over there and talk to him," and then you go talk to him who says, "Hey, go and talk to that first guy again." I hate those kind of quests. Why can't you two just meet here in the middle and talk, and I'll just stand over here and eavesdrop?
My second order a pizza, so, you know, yeah. Why don't you go and...
tell you what, you guys
go pick it up for me.
This. I'm going to go to the next zone and do another quest, and I'll come back.
Yeah.
My second... you want to do your first, and then I'll do my second, you do your second, or do you want me to do my three, and then you do your three?
Well, why don't we trade off?
Okay.
Because my first one is actually the same one as yours. Wrathgate is my number one quest line of all time, and
yeah.
I was very sad to see that taken out, the defense of Undercity or the attack of Undercity taken
Which
out
was,
of the game.
Which it was the best part of the quest.
It was the epitome of all of it. It just was, It was awesome. I loved it. I loved it. I was actually leveling an Alliance Toon to do that quest just for that quest. So I'm kind of sad to say my Alliance Toon is still sitting at level 72 or 73, having not even gotten Wrathgate done yet, but that's where it is. But I kind of love it, not only because the quest was so much fun to do. I love how it fits into the story, because that's a real pivotal part in the lore for not only the Wrath expansion, but it affected Horde Alliance relations still in Cataclysm, and it's affecting it beyond. It's happening
It affected Horde relations too, especially.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
It was an excellent lead in to what was coming.
Mm-hmm.
The foreshadowing bomb, so to speak.
Yep, just the way that it fit into the story was just excellent for me. I love these little twists, and you'll find that my favorite quests actually all have these little twists that I just. Yes, I'm a fan of twists, and I'll talk about that even more later. But that's part of the reason why I love this quest, is because here we see the Horde and the Alliance not only fighting together side by side for the first time, but all of it shot down within a matter of seconds. Like, we finally bridge this distance between
years
us,
of
and
effort
suddenly,
and time and sacrifice brought together, and in that one fell swoop, it's all undone, and. It set up so many things in so many ways. It was just such an excellent, such a well done quest line all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
Just as a side note, when is Blizzard Entertainment going to start making full animated movies?
Oh, please.
That movie at the start of, where you get the voice, that deep voice that says, Arthas, my son.
Mm-hmm.
You will be king one day. And it goes on and on, and the whole time it shows there's the Lich King standing there with his sword, and there's Sindragosa comes flying up out of the ice, and how epic was that? That was awesome.
It really was. It really was.
I think that if I had never played the game, had never seen the game, I watched that part. I want to be a part of that game. And the Wrathgate quest, for a short period of time, let me feel like I was part of the game. Mm-hmm. So that's number one on both our lists, and that's two big way thumbs up.
Absolutely. If you haven't done this quest, get on it. Go now. Stop the podcast. Log in. And go.
No, don't stop the podcast.
Okay,
finish
you can
podcast.
Listen to us, yeah. But then they'll want to do
once
the rest
we're
of the
done, before you do anything else,
yeah.
Quick bio break, and then right into that quest.
Yes.
My second favorite one is actually a low-level one, and it's from the new expansion from Cataclysm, and that one is... Now, I don't know what it's called. I don't even remember the details of it. I've done it twice. I did it once on my DK at level 85. Just I was goofing around. And then I went and did it again on another server on a low-level toon, level appropriate. And it's just as much fun at the high level as it is at the low level. It is in the Arathi Highlands, just north of where the old South Shore settlement used to be. And it's part of the quest line where you actually get to be the quest giver, which...
Yes.
I enjoyed that, because if you haven't done this quest line, you need to go do this quest line as well.
That one's
a
the
lot
one
of
that
fun.
Introduces you to Arathi Highlands. It's the first quest that you get going in there as you become
going into
the quest
Arathi,
giver.
Coming in from Silverpine Forest.
Yes.
And it's the very first one you get, and you get to be a quest giver, and the game gives you three players, quote-unquote, to come and get quests from you, and it's a. I'm not going to say any more detail about that. Go and do the quest. Level 25, level 85, doesn't matter. Go and do the quest. It's totally worth it. I don't know if the Alliance side. I suppose I should put that disclaimer there. I don't know what the Alliance side does, because I haven't leveled anyone Alliance side in years. So.
We should probably put that as a disclaimer right from the start. All of these quests are pretty much
all
Horde
side.
Yeah, because that's what we are. We're Hordies.
Yeah. For the whole.
Yeah, I don't even think we should apologize for that, because there's nothing to apologize for.
All the players who are Alliance should apologize to us for not being Horde.
Yes, this is true. I was trying to come up with something clever to say there, but clearly I failed. We're Horde.
The part of the quest that really did it for me was you go into the settlement. Now, West of Terran Mill, you used to go into the little farm there where all the little Alliance guys were, and that's where you did your quests, but you had to go back to Terran Mill to collect the quests and then go do them there and then come back. So it's just south of the Dalaran Crater is that little new settlement that's there. And one of the quests that you pick up in there, they give you a shovel. Now, the quest has changed now. Now you get a shovel and then you go into the field where they've planted some people and you save them by taking them out. But when that quest first came out and for quite a bit of time after, you saved them by choosing to dig them out or just whacking them with the shovel.
And being that they were all human.
It was. I got to tell you, it wouldn't have mattered to me at that point if they were human or orc or, well, if they'd have been gnome or goblin, I'd have done the quest over and over and over and over and over. Anyways, I just thought this was really getting an insight into the way that the Forsaken see everything else.
Yes.
They're not, they're planting humans. And so, come on, how great is that? And then, as a footnote, the reward at the end of all this is a one-handed mace that has the shape of a shovel, a spade.
Great transmog.
And I have DK who dual-wields shovels. When he goes into Dragon Soul, he dual-wields shovels. And so that alone is worth the trip.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That was fun. And that whole little section is fun, too, because it carries on from that being the quest giver bit. So they did a really good job in that zone for this expansion. My second favorite is actually the quest where, and it's not exactly, well, it's a quest the first time you do it. So it's assisting Sylvanas in the Halls of Reflection. That whole dungeon in Wrath, it's the last dungeon that was introduced in Wrath, and it's absolutely my favorite. I still, if I run it today, I still get a rush in that dungeon. I'm not sure if you recall, it's the one where you run in and you see Frostmourne sitting there, and again, speaking from the Horde side, on Alliance side, you're helping Jaina, but on Horde side, you're helping Sylvanas, and she sees Frostmourne, and she's torn. Should she grab it? Should she take this for herself? Because why would Arthas leave this weapon unguarded? What is the gotcha here? And you could see her mulling it in her head. Clearly, getting revenge on Arthas on the Lich King is her number one reason for being. This is her whole life sitting right there with this weapon. And so you could see her considering, and it's got all the role play in there. She's considering what to do, what the next step is. Fortunately, the Lich King steps in and he makes the decision for her. But, I mean, we fight, we continue on, and we see the great battle between Sylvanas and Arthas. And he's winning. He's kicking her ass, and we have to run. And that whole, the run escape. Through, the escape through, still, I love it so much because you get so close. He can one-shot us all.
It's the first time you do that gauntlet, that escape gauntlet.
Oh, what a rush.
How much is your heart pumping when you get to the platform at the end?
If you make it, because you have to make sure that you're still away from Arthas, and the closer he keeps getting closer every time and putting up walls to stop you, and my goodness, it's fantastic.
I think it taps into that more primal fear. Here comes this implacable foe. He's not running after you.
No,
he's not scurrying. He's got that just one step after another. He is coming your way, and I'm telling you, I mean, the energy that you get, I'm sure there are people who went out there who just, it was just, you know what, bash on the dead, go to the next thing, bash on the dead, go to the next thing, bash on the dead, go through the thing, wait for them to collapse it. Ta-da, it's done, get the loot, move on.
Yeah.
For me, I know for you, it was not like that. It was the struggle, the sense of, yes. Oh my God, we're right next to the Lich King. If I could just throw a knife and get him in, and if I was a ninja, he would be dead.
If he didn't have that giant AoE emanating from him to get close enough.
You want that sense of, this is the Lich King. Mm-hmm. We named an entire game after this guy. He has
after us in the dungeon. We're not even in the
raid
yet.
He's chasing us. Like, I didn't do anything. I was ordering pizza. What the hell? So,
yes.
Choice. Yeah. Very good choice. That was a great quest line.
It really was. And again, because I gotta admit, I'm a Sylvanas fangirl. I just love seeing the struggle that she's got, and to see that she's coming up against her number one enemy and failing, and you just want to cheer her on, say, Sylvanas, come on, you could do this. You're like the best ranger.
Now, you undead bitch, get him.
Yeah, you could do this. So it's excellent. I love it.
And even now, years later, still have that same fire in the blood from the quest, from doing it.
I'll walk in right now and go do this.
We could take him.
Yeah.
I think we could probably kill him, though. That would be the problem. I have a DK tank. I could probably stand there for a second or two, and we might be able to take him down.
Maybe.
And then how many people, after they got used to doing that run, how many people actually stood in the archway just before it collapses and taunted him and danced?
Oh, yeah.
How many did that? I know I was guilty of that.
Well, once you make it and you're free, then,
it was,
yeah.
Way more fun to do that when you knew that some of the people in your group had never done it before, to go running back in there. So they would think, what are you doing? Don't chase him. I can take him from here. I'm buffed up enough. I can kill him right from here.
It was fun. Another one, definitely. Go do it.
Yes, if you haven't done some of those, I think that, you know, on the, somebody asked me this actually, I don't remember when it was, but sometime in the last like 2 or 3 days, somebody asked me what my favorite expansion was, and what part of the game was my favorite. And I got to say, Wrath. Wrath was my favorite. It's my favorite. No
Absolutely.
Question. It had the theme. It had the atmosphere. It had the energy. It had the storyline. It had great bad guys.
I loved it right to the very end, right until Cataclysm dropped. Right,
even after Cataclysm dropped, that I found myself lamenting for Wrath.
Mm-hmm.
One of my big complaints about Cata was it wasn't Wrath, and I had to force myself to look at Cata for what it was and try and see it better. Burning Crusade was a good expansion as far as it goes. It didn't try to be more than it was. It didn't try to do anything. Wrath, I think, rose to the next level, and as the programmers and developers and technology improved, they took advantage of it, and I think they did an outstanding job, and I would like to see the return of that kind of storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Although, based on the preliminary information we're getting from the beta on Mists, we're going to be disappointed. There's story. However, it's going to totally
we'll see. That's, we'll see.
We'll see that later. So my third quest I think we should clarify. These are not quests. These are quest lines.
Yes.
So
we did the quest lines at the start, right? I'm pretty sure we did.
I think we did, yes.
Yeah, okay.
To check my notes.
Yes.
Anyways, my third one is the Zul'Garub Zul'Aman prep quest lines that you pick up in the capital cities. And as I understand, they are identical for both Horde and Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's one of those, I don't say neutral territory, neutral factions, but you go to Stranglethorn Vale. Now it's northern Stranglethorn Vale, Zul'Garub is. And you have a ghost following you around when you're flying around the zone, and you're bouncing all over the place. And I really enjoyed that. I really thought that one was, again, well done in keeping with what it was for. It prepped you. It gave you some of the background lore. And if you bothered to wait and listen to the dialogue that the characters in the game gave you, you would, because I confess I did it once and then I didn't wait anymore after that. I just bashed on. But it was a good, it had a good feel to it. It didn't feel forced, and it wasn't challenging. It wasn't difficult, but you did have a sense of participation in the mythology. You felt like you were part of what was going on there.
And you got a pet.
And then, you know, at the end of it, you got a pretty cool little panther cub. So,
and you got to hear Zenzeel, Zenzeel.
Oh, I just love the voodoo. What is it? I love the voodoo that you do.
Yeah, it's my favorite line. The
voodoo that you do.
Oh, Zenzeel. So,
Zenzeel's my favorite boss from Zul'Garub.
Yes, because he's just got the coolest lines.
Got the coolest lines, the coolest voice, and he's totally insane.
Yes, he is.
So, that's...
I wasn't that enthralled with that quest line. It was all right. I liked the pet because I'm a pet collector, but it wasn't fantastic. I think I've only done it on a couple of tunes. But
at being a person who doesn't like questing, mm-hmm. have I mentioned I hate leveling? All right. It takes quite a bit for any quest line to really catch me. And I've been leveling up some Lobby tunes on some other servers, just killing time waiting for Mist to drop.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's good quests. You know, I kind of like what they've done in the Northern Southern Barrens thing. I like how they've sort of advanced the story there with Camp Tarajo.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing some of those. But you know what? I'm going to do them once, and then they're going to be forgotten.
Yeah.
There's no sense of permanence to them. There's mm-hmm. no sense of the greater good, or, you know, greater participation in the bigger scheme of things. I'm not getting that sense from any of these other quests. They're well written. They're in keeping with the theme. They're appropriate to the level, blah, 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 blah. Mechanically, they're good quests. But as far as any emotive response, they got nothing.
All right. Well, my third one is pretty much an entire zone. And I recommend this. Yeah, I recommend this. If you're an Alliance player, if you've played Worgen, you'll note at the end of the Worgen quest line, it kind of just drops off. There's no real
start
ending.
End
the start zone, yes. Before, just as you get to Darnassus, there's no real finish. You don't know how the war with the Forsaken actually ends, and you don't see how that progresses. So my third quest line that I am totally in love with is pretty much the whole zone of Silver Pine Forest. So if you're an Alliance and you've seen this Worgen zone, I recommend roll an undead and see this zone, because it's excellent. We really get to see Sylvanas for who she is. Now she's defeated Arthas, the Lich King is dead, and now she's faced with the procreation of her race. And she has to figure out how we have all these Forsaken who have died in wrath, and her numbers are dwindling, and she's seeing the end of existence for the Forsaken. So she now has to figure out how she's going to get her numbers back, and the way she does that, it's excellent. The whole zone, we're actually introduced at the beginning of the zone to what her plan is. So we find out how Garrosh feels about it, and as a player, you kind of see both sides, but for me, I was a little bit horrified. I understand why she wanted to do things the way she was doing it, but it was a little bit, I don't want to say the word horrifying again because I just used it, but it was scary. You could almost see that she's going just a little bit insane.
She's dead. That's gotta do something to you, I think.
Well, maybe, I don't know. She's always seemed to have a level head in the past, but now she's just, her balance has tipped, and we really start to see her go off. And I don't, she's lost her purpose, and the way she's trying to find her purpose is not really kosher. So we follow her along the zone, and we see the whole, the war with the Worgen and what she's trying to do, because obviously she wants to expand her territory, and that's exactly what she's doing. We find out that they still have a bit of a plague happening that they're developing against the orders of Garrosh and all that. And
gasp!
I know.
Say stuff like that.
Here's another spoiler. She actually, Lord Godfrey, on the Worgen side, as a Worgen, you actually end up disposing of Lord Godfrey. Sylvanas discovers this, and she goes and resurrects him as a Forsaken. At the end of the quest line, we see Godfrey actually turn on her and betray her, and that whole little bit is excellent, because we see again, she's faced again with her demise, and fortunately, we're able to get her back and all that fun stuff, but that's why we now are running into Shadowfang Keep to get back at Lord Godfrey and his buddies.
Interesting that it's a microcosm, macrocosm effect, because the Lich King raised Sylvanas to help him do his bidding. She rebelled against him. Then she raises Godfrey to help her do her bidding, and he turns against her.
Yes. Yes, the whole zone really is that bit of a twist, and we really start to see chinks in her armor. She's not as all there as she has been in the past.
She ain't all there, is she?
Yeah, and again, you guys, if you hadn't thought of me as a Sylvanas fangirl before this episode, you certainly will now, because every quest that I love has her involved somehow.
Sylvanas fangirl.
She really is an excellent character, and I just hope that it continues on and we get to see exactly where she ends up. So, do you have any other quests you want to talk about?
There's quests all over the place. I think that there are things that I have recently been considering that I don't know if they're going to be rendered obsolete in the new in the new paradigm that is Mists. But I was thinking about taking some of my other tunes out and grinding rep, because it just seems so easy now to grind rep.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking as I was cleaning out some old stuff in some bags, throwing away minion scorch stones and invader scorch stones. We've had them for a while.
Those were actually, for those of you who don't know what those are, those were the introduction to Wrath back in BC before Wrath dropped.
They used to drop from Strat, and they were developed.
I was thinking about the other ones.
You were thinking of the other ones.
The
Scorchstones, Mini Scorchstones, and the third one, which I can't think of the name of off the top of my head. They were dropped from bosses, trash, and mini bosses in Strat and Skolo, back when Strat and Skolo were level 65 man.
My bad.
And you turn them in for rep.
I'm thinking about those other types of...
They were called Scorchstones as well, but they were...
It was for the Wrath event anyway, before...
Yeah. Yeah, they disappeared after the Wrath event. You didn't have to get rid of them.
I saw some of my bags.
Oh, yeah? I don't have any on any tunes anywhere at all.
Maybe you were a bit more diligent than me.
I'm a bit more of a pack rat than you, but... even the pre-launch events for Wrath were better than the pre-launch events for Burning Crusade and for Kata.
I don't recall the ones for Burning Crusade, to be honest, because I was just trying to get attuned to 60 before Burning Crusade dropped. So.
And she did.
I did. It was like 2 days before Burning Crusade dropped, but I did do it. But yeah, I don't recall what those
were. The good old days.
Yes.
They were neither good nor old, but they were there. Nostalgia colors everything with mm-hmm. a purple hue. Or is that
anyway, where were you going with this?
It was just a comment on the cleaning out the scorestones, and then I came across some other items. Nethersite ore, which is used to turn into the Netherwing for the first dragon that I ever had, the first flying drake. Level 70 mounts.
Out in Shadowmoon Valley.
Yeah, and
that's a fun chain, too.
I thought about taking a tune out there mm-hmm. and just seeing if that had changed that. It occurs to me that since the last, probably the last 6 months of Wrath and for the entire duration of Kata, I have not spent I've spent absolutely as little time in the Outlands as absolutely possible. So much so, in fact, that I level to 60 in the Blasted Lands, go through the portal, get to 65 in Hellfire, 64 or 65 in Hellfire. I go to Nagrand, I get to 68. I go to Blade's Edge, I get to 70. I get to Hell at Outlands. And I have, over the last little bit, I've become curious to see if the changes that have been wrought in the quest lines and the rep grinds and the loot tables for some of the other things, if they have changed as much as they have on all these other
Azerothian
things. Well, I know they didn't make as many changes to Burning Crusade as they did to Azeroth. That mm-hmm. was deliberate and on purpose.
Yeah.
But we've seen so many things being... I don't want to say nerfed, because a nerf happens all at once, but there have been little tiny bites taken out of everything. There was a time when grinding rep to get exalted was not something you considered doing on one weekend. It mm-hmm. was something that you planned to do over several months.
Mm-hmm.
And now...
And you had to be at level at one time.
Yeah, you couldn't even start to do your rep until you were at the appropriate level, and then mm-hmm. you could do the things that were required to grind rep. And
heaven forbid that you were too high a level...
Well, let's not even get started on that. that was the original back
that was back in vanilla.
Original.
Yeah.
When you did a quest, any quest, if the quest, when you turned it in, was gray, you got virtually no experience for it, you got no rep for it, and you got no money for it.
Mm-hmm.
So there I am, as a very poorly geared mage, without any assistance, because I was ungilded at the time, unable to do the quest by myself. I had to wait till they were green and gray in order to complete them, and wasn't getting anything for them, so I wasn't able to get the upgrades that I needed. Mm-hmm. There I was, a level 60 toon, undead, not even exalted with my own faction, because I couldn't get exalted,
mm-hmm.
and I had done all the quests. I haven't even been able to go back and do the quests until Cata dropped, and they reset all the quests.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, by that point now, I've done all the other crap that needed to get done to get exalted. But I just think that it's a good thing in the sense that it's easy to get the rep now,
mm-hmm.
much easier than it used to
yes,
be.
Yes, it is.
But by the same token, there's a certain satisfaction in walking around with an exalted faction, knowing that you really had to work your ass off to get
mm-hmm.
that exalted faction.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that quest lines, they used to be, that was the way you got rep. You did the quest for that group. And then they brought out the tabards. And now, you don't have to really even go into a zone to do the rep for that zone. I mean, I have toons on other servers that have Silvermoon, that are getting Silvermoon rep. They've never been to Silvermoon City.
Only to buy the tabard.
No, they didn't go into the city. The
yeah.
tabard vendor's outside.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
So, you know, just run out there, get it. And then,
so really, the only reason to do the quest now or just to see the story.
To see the story.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it's not a horrible thing because some
no,
of these
it's,
stories
some of them
are a lot of
stories,
fun. But,
yeah.
you know, and now, and the other side that is the part of the loss in the storylines is the random dungeon finder.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can level a toon and never leave your main city.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You get to level 15 and you start running random dungeons and that's it. You log in, run 10 dungeons or 12 dungeons, get some loot, probably the same loot over and over. I know that's what happened to me. And
the same shoulders
that
over and over.
Same shoulders, nothing. I kept getting friggin' bracers. Cloth bracers.
Anyway, let's bring
Yay.
This back to the quest lines.
We've really
deviated from the actual topic here today.
And
the point is, get out there and do the quest because they're a great story.
Yes, that was my point.
I'm sure it was.
That was entirely.
I just wanted to give an honorable mention to another quest since it came to me as you were talking. The whole bit with Thrall as the introduction to Firelands and whatnot. We see him getting divided into the four elements. I really enjoyed that whole chain. And I probably enjoyed that whole chain because of the very end, when he finally commits himself to Agra and all that, because I'm a romantic. And it was lovely. And there's rose petals falling, yo.
Rose petals.
Rose yeah. petals. And there's
the
flowers on...
Nice.
Yes, there were flowers on the cloak. I don't know if you look. You should look. There's flowers.
Sell that cloak.
DE it.
I disagree. I didn't really like that quest line. I thought that it could have been more than it was.
Mm-hmm.
I think that in principle, it was a good theory, and I imagine that when they were sitting around talking about it, the developers went, oh, that's really great. But at the end of the day, it didn't have a sense of accomplishment. It was just a, holy crap, I want to get this over with. I found the mechanic of it was a little sloppy, particularly the fourth one, the fire one. I had no range finder to tell me when I was close enough to a totem to score a kill and get that totem. And some of the totems, you had to be practically right on top of them.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the totems, you could be a good fair distance away. In fact, closer to a different totem. So I didn't really like that very much. I didn't like the idea that, particularly as I'm on a PvP server, the minute somebody decided that they were done the quest, they ganked me. Now I got to start again.
Yes.
That didn't
that was
deal
irritating.
With me at all. I know that the haters are going to say, if you don't like PvP, get off the server. Listen, if I had the $25 to get off the server, I would. the $250, because I'm not leaving any man behind. Anyways, I've been on my server now pretty much since about 4 months after the game started. 5 months after the game started. The whole game, not just the server. The whole game started, and then 5 months later I was playing on my server. And on Darkspear, for anybody that's curious. I don't know if I should tell people where I'm at. I don't want them to come hunt me down. Anyways. You digressed. You
didn't stay on top. Yeah, they'll be rolling alliance just to hunt you down.
Just to hunt me down.
Yes.
anyways, I just thought that, you know, it was interesting to see the story evolve. And I know they tried hard to make you feel like a part of it. And I know that the whole expansion, right up until the, you know, if you haven't killed Deathwing, some of us have, right up until that point, you see Agra and you see Thrall. And if you've been a fan of the game for as long as I have, and I've been a fan of this game for a lot longer than World of Warcraft, I've been a fan of this game of the Warcraft franchise going all the way back to Warcraft, Orcs and Humans. But it's nice to see Thrall at the end of the storyline. He comes into a comfortable place, and that's nice to be there and see that.
Mm-hmm.
By the same measure, however, slogging through the water and then slogging through the earth and then slogging through the air. And, you know, the cutscenes were kind of cool and the dialogue was funny. I thought Agra's reaction to him was...
Particularly was in the earth part.
Earth zone.
Yes.
Oh, no, he didn't. Oh, yes, he did. You know, I thought that was entertaining, and it was moments where it was fun, but most of the quest line just felt like a grind.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't score it a very high score. If the writing is great and the dialogue is great and the art is great and it still feels like a slog, guess what? I hate leveling.
Yeah.
Leveling is grinding. Leveling is slogging. So doing these quests felt like leveling. It felt like slogging. And so I give it a big old fat thumbs down.
Fair enough. Anyway, so we highly recommend that you check out the quest that we did both enjoy. And I think we're on agreement for the ones that we...
Wrathgate.
Absolutely. Wrathgate. Number one. Please, if you haven't done it, go. It's awesome.
Yeah. So, and then feel free to, you know, getting back to our interaction with our listeners. You know what? Jump on our website or our Facebook page and put down what your favorite quest was.
Let us know, absolutely.
Let us know which ones you liked. And I've not done a lot of the low-level quests, especially since Cata dropped. I haven't leveled tunes because there's a rumor. Let me confirm. I don't like to level.
Mm-hmm.
So I've tried to avoid that. And, you know, it's not fair. It's not fair to me because I love story and I love what is out there. I just don't like the grinding of it. I don't like that, you know, go kill 10, come back. Go kill 10 more, come back. Go kill 10 more, come back. Come on. Can you just tell me?
Well, they've really improved that with Cataclysm. I mean, those quests are obviously still out there, but they have fun with them in the quest text and whatnot. So that's something that they definitely did improve on.
So maybe that's the footnote then. Go and do these quests and read the text,
read the
couple quest, text,
yes.
Listen to what they have to say, get involved.
Exactly.
And lose yourself in the game for
in
a couple
the story. Absolutely.
Fair enough, I shall take that advice.
All right.
Moving
so with that, why don't we move on to the next topic, which is where we'd like to see the future expansions take us. And we decided to talk about this because I started thinking about our first topic, and of course Wrathgate being the number one choice for both of us, I started thinking about that whole the whole storyline behind Wrathgate. And it got me thinking, and when you're in Undercity killing Verimathras, he says, "I am sorry, my lord, I have failed." And just as he's about to die. I mean, it got me wondering who, first of all, he's talking to, because it clearly isn't Thrall. So it kind of got me thinking, and I thought a really great expansion that I would love to see is we should really be facing Sargeras. He has been that underlying boss
yes.
all the way along. Every expansion, we have these demons that we're fighting somewhere in some zone, and obviously they're all Sargeras' minions. He is the overlord. He's the guy who wants to make his mark. And we see him all the way along doing these subtle little things to try and get into our world. I would love to see an expansion, and this is where my line of thinking was going. We see the fall of Sylvanas coming. Would it not be cool to see Sargeras perhaps corrupt her and have his into Azeroth through Sylvanas? I think that would be pretty cool. He's tried with Verimathras. We obviously saw how that how that worked out. I think it would be excellent to tie in. Two birds with one stone right there. What do you think?
I'd like that. I think that would be an excellent plot twist. And we have Sylvanas, who ostensibly has been one of the bigger supporters of Thrall.
Mm-hmm.
Less so with his successors, but she still, while still maintaining her own agenda, has still stood for the Horde, mostly because of a shared enemy. And I think that if she were subverted to a bigger enemy, mm-hmm. And let's be honest, I don't think in this game, you know, I know they tried to make a big deal about the aspect of death and
mm-hmm.
Deathwing and all that stuff. But come on now. Sargeras, the devourer of worlds.
Yes.
The Burning Legion. This is what started all of this off in the first place. This mm-hmm. is where it all comes back to. We're getting back to our roots.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, Shakti and I had this conversation earlier, started this conversation a little earlier, and my point then was, we are coming up on the 10-year anniversary of World of Warcraft, and although people will scoff, it's really not that far off. And if you're looking for the next X-Pack, would not be unreasonable to think that it would be tied in with the 10-year anniversary. And what better to tie in a 10-year anniversary of an MMORPG that has changed gaming everywhere than to bring the ultimate bad guy mm-hmm. and put him in the game somehow?
Yeah.
It would have to be similar to the way the Firelands against Ragnaros went, where you're not actually fighting Ragnaros, you're fighting an aspect of Ragnaros. And I think that instead of actually confronting Sargeras, because that would just take on the, just be the same thing as fighting Illidan in Black Temple. This is the real deal. He's mm-hmm. trying to get a finger in the world here, and if he can get in, not just the Burning Legion, he can get in, and then I think we're all in trouble.
But the death of us all, yep.
It would be the end of all things, which mm-hmm. is what he wants in the first place.
Absolutely.
So it's a win-win for Sargeras. I think that that would also be a great opportunity to bring back, to revise some of these other older bosses that were linked to him in the lore.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Verimathras has been taken out of the game now.
Mm-hmm.
Horde players must remember Verimathras was the big demon dude in Sylvanas' throne room in mm-hmm. Undercity. And he's not there anymore. He's gone. He's been replaced by orcs everywhere, the Korkron elite,
mm-hmm.
which is exactly right. And that's sort of the way that we trust you. We just don't trust you. And so we're going to put our Korkron elite in here. We're going to guard Undercity,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to keep our eye on you at the same mm-hmm. time. And so I think that's a great in. I think that's a great suggestion, and would be an interesting X-Pack to have them develop that. And of course, now you know instances would be it would be great to revisit some of these bosses, but I don't know that I'd want to revisit some of the instances. I would
like just have the bosses. I mean,
we'd have to
face Meg Theridan again, and you know all these big demons that have been.
The opening event could be go back to these other demons, these older ones, and kill them, and get the clue that you missed all those many times before.
Right.
There's the clue, and that unlocks these new ones.
Mm-hmm.
That would be fun. That
mm-hmm.
would be fun. I would do that.
Yes.
I would so do that. Totally
yes.
do that. Okay. So, what about maybe doing something with additional factions? I would like to see more factions. Or if not able to do more factions, then how about races not being restricted to factions? You know,
that would be interesting.
Humans in the Horde or undead in the Alliance, as an example.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the goblins for the longest time were neutral. They were mm-hmm. in both. You mm-hmm. could go into any city and see goblins or see them. In the real world, we have turncoats in every army everywhere, right? So there is a precedent for that idea. There's always going to be somebody out there who would rather make a dollar than defend their cultural heritage or defend their, racial purity or whatever. Right. So I think that that would be an interesting option, mm-hmm. that if players – and now this is not coming out of nowhere. This is not an unfounded idea. The Pandarens, for anybody who doesn't know, spoiler alert, the Pandarens, when you start a Pandaren tune, you are neither Horde nor Alliance. You choose, after you finish the opening start zone, you choose which faction you're going to go with.
Mm-hmm.
So we could start to see that possibility could exist in other areas. Obviously, some races, are really going to be very difficult to have that.
Yeah.
That sort of dual purpose. The humans, for example, are going to be very hard.
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking the orcs, the humans,
the orcs
would be
well,
difficult.
The orcs and humans, but the ones that I think are going to be the hardest ones are going to be the undead.
Mm-hmm.
Because, let's be honest, the undead are abhorrent. The living dead. It goes against everything that life mm-hmm. believes in. And so mm-hmm. the fact that they are a part of the Horde even is kind of mm-hmm. a little dicey. And that, where I was thinking I'd like to see more than two factions, I think that we could support a three-faction world, Horde, Alliance, and Forsaken. We would need maybe a fourth faction, I think, to maybe balance that out. But, you know, nevertheless, I think we could maybe give rise to some sort of a mishmash faction, so that if I rule
almost
Orc,
a neutral. Here, you're Switzerland.
Burn! Oh, good burn. Smoking on that one. Yeah, so if you want, back to my example, you wanted to roll an Orc, but you don't want to play Horde, Orc is not, you're not going to make you're not going to make many friends in the Alliance. You might not want to go with the Forsaken. You're going to go with the guys who don't want to be a part of the Horde, the Alliance, or the Forsaken. So you're going to go with the word neutrals, but that idea, that mm-hmm. the other guys, you know, the
Blackwater,
when you go to the
Rangers
ballot, you see the none of the above mark on the.
That would take an awful lot of redoing on Blizzard's part for this game, I think.
I don't see that it would. I mean, really, what's your faction based on? It's basically a setting in the game, right? It's already there for the races based on the races that they've already got. And they're already setting the groundwork for the possibility of it with the new expansion, where they're going to have cross-realm leveling, where you're not mm-hmm. going to be able to level in some zones where you're going to be leveling together from different realms. We're only a half step away from that idea of, okay, so if I'm on another server and I'm playing a human character, could I not run with the Horde on one of those shared zones and do the Horde quest lines? What really does it change at the end of the day?
Well, except that the guy who's giving me the quest is going to run me through as soon as I turn around and say, oh, okay, I got this quest. And I turn my back on him and he's going to stab me in the back.
I've been referred to him. I know all the back. I know the secret handshake. He's not going to kill me. He's gonna be wary and he's going to be leery.
It depends
but
on
you
how
know
much
what?
Of a hoardy he is.
It depends on how much of a hoardy he is. It depends on how much of a penis he is. The idea though is that as a Torin sitting there in Camp Tarajo handing out quest lines to blood elves, how do we know he's never seen a blood elf before? How does he know that it's not a night elf? He doesn't. Mm-hmm. He just mm-hmm. takes your word for it that you're part of the Horde. Well, look, I'm wearing a Horde tabard. Well, then that does it.
Well, we've done the quests where we've all dressed up as the opposite faction.
As the opposite faction.
I mean, we put on a mask and, oh, look, now you're a human.
You go as a gnome, you put on a dress. But the idea is that, yeah, we can there's some fun quest lines. The Death Knight, Death K. The DK start zone, when you go up into the back of the start zone, where you put on the disguise, and the disguise is
and
a cardboard tree.
Yes.
And you're just standing behind a cardboard tree. How great is that?
That's
people that get it. They are not taking this crap seriously.
Yeah.
Really? Cardboard tree? And then the courier says, I've never seen that tree before. I'll go and investigate.
Yes.
Come on! That's perfect! So... and so there you are again. The Death Knights were only one step. The Death Knight start zone was a mixed, shared start zone. Everybody was whatever faction they were with when they started the game. And really, when you think about it, that makes sense given that they were originally part of the Scourge. They were the Death Knight faction prior to casting off the yoke of control that the Lich King had. Mm-hmm. So the idea of another faction, of a separate group that really just works for themselves, is that really any different from the orcs working with the Taurens, working with the trolls? It's not really. The Taurens and the trolls and the orcs and the undead and the blood elves and the goblins, they all maintained their own distinctness within that culture. And if there was a tremendous break, I mean, what would happen if we extend the level of ludicrousness a little bit farther ahead here? What if Hellscream gets up in the morning, his coffee's not made, and he lops off the head of the goblin that is supposed to bring him his coffee? Whoop, off goes the head.
Well, that would explain this.
There you go. So now we know where
maybe Pete, that's what Pete's happened. Yeah.
He didn't get his coffee, and now that's that.
Yes, exactly.
Anyways, so now the goblins, you know, wait a minute. That was a goblin merchant prince, and so the goblins are in an uproar. Hellscream says, you know what? Screw you. You're goblins. What are you going to do? You know, barter me to death?
Please
piss off
Orgrimmar and kill him.
And so there we go. Now the goblins are going to turn against the rest of the orcs. They're not against the horde. They're against the orcs. So now we've got that infighting going on. We've had infighting in the horde pretty much since day one, mm-hmm. with the undead, right?
Yes.
Everybody's been against
Nobody's
the undead.
Really, yeah,
nobody trusts them. Nobody really wants them. They're totally the underdog.
Those poor Forsaken, they've had a bad rap.
Yes, the Forsaken.
They have.
And this idea, I think, now, is this going to be an easy fix? No, probably not. But then I'm not a programmer, so I can request unreasonable.
All right. Well, that's, I suppose you can, you know, request it. I don't know if we'll ever see that. But
oh, I don't know that we will ever see it. But it would be, that's, you said, where would I like to see it go?
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'd like to see the game expand. I think that if we're going to start taking, spoiler alert, bosses from one faction and making them the end boss for another game, then we have to start looking at, it's getting a little tired, this whole back and forth kind of thing. What about the splinter groups that just go off and want to be left alone?
Mm-hmm.
There's conflict in that. The Scarlet Monastery, the Scarlet Crusade, the Scarlet Dawn, you know, obviously when they started, they were all human. And now look at them. Mm-hmm. You go to some of these zones, they're not all just humans.
Yeah.
And they are working together. So,
yeah.
You know, I think that a group can be pulled together by a common cause, and I think that in game terms, the story is not that hard to stretch to make it make sense.
No, I was just thinking more of a programming kind of a
standpoint. Again, it's really settings. It's like checkboxes in a.
I think it would be easier just to have everybody just drop your faction, period. You don't work for anybody but yourself.
And that's an interesting twist as well, but then we run into the whole idea of if factions are still going to happen.
Yeah,
but then,
yeah.
Okay, so how about this? It goes beyond the idea of polar factions, Alliance and Horde, and gets down to guild. All the main cities are neutral.
And pair guilds against each other
and
or
just
whatever.
Guilds against guilds.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Now, how's that going to work on a PvE server?
I don't know.
You have a whole bunch of people just standing around looking at each other.
So yeah, maybe.
Be like a grade 9 school dance or something.
Right? Hey, nice transmog. Hey.
What's up?
Yeah.
Would
How
you like
doing?
To dance? What, with you? No, I said you look fat in those pants. Anyways.
Anyway, the
moving
only other
right
thing,
along.
The only other thing I would like to see in an upcoming faction is a faction. Upcoming expansion.
Faction. Coming soon to a faction.
And I imagine this will probably be answered a lot more in Myst. I haven't gotten this far in the beta yet. I probably should spend some time in the beta and see where the story takes me.
Turn off the Diablo 3. Cough, cough.
Never. Is to see where Anduin goes, Anduin Wynn, because he has a pretty interesting story. He's obviously being groomed by Jaina to be, I don't want to say her replacement exactly, but he's, what's that?
Protege.
Yeah. He's got ties to both Horde and obviously Alliance, but he's got a good rapport with a few Horde members, so I kind of want to see that developed a little bit more.
I mean, that's exactly what I'm talking about there. there's Jaina Pradmore, who's sort of an ambassador to the Horde from the Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what are they being ambassadors for? Like, we're not killing her on sight. We're not even trying to kill her on sight. And now Anduin is sort of being groomed to sort of take on the same kind of role.
Yeah.
Right?
Bane is actually carrying a weapon from Anduin.
Yep.
Handed it to him personally. So that's, I just think that's kind of cool. I'd like to see that continue.
That kind of an idea continues. And I mean, you know, maybe the trolls and the orcs will stay warlike and they'll stay on the warpath, and the Taurens will finally embrace their nature-loving, tree-hugging ways, and they'll branch off, and they'll say, look, we don't really buy into all this kind of stuff anymore. And then...
Well, if the Tauren do that, then so do the Night Elves.
Well, the Night Elves would be... Then the Tauren and the Night Elves could
just
be one
the faction.
The
Cenarian Circle.
Right? The Cenarian Circle. So there we go. I mean, we have already laid the foundations for multiple groups, multiple factions.
I just don't think it's going to happen, is all.
But a guy can hope.
Yeah.
I just want more choices.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you have any ideas of end bosses?
For what
that
the end bosses
like
could be?
Yeah.
Oh, end bosses. I would love to see some sort of a instance where it's similar to, but not necessarily the same as the attack on Undercity was. Where, because in most instances right now, with the exceptions of the ICC five-mans, you basically get together with your friends and you say, hey, let's go knock over this liquor store. And really, that's what it is, right? They all turn into basically metaphorical knocked-over liquor stores.
All right.
But with that Undercity experience at the end of the for those of you who have been listening all the way through, mm-hmm. we talked earlier about a quest line that ended in Veteran of the Wrathgate, and then previous to the Cataclysm expansion, you would be able to go into Undercity, and on Horde side, you would be reclaiming Undercity. And I think that, you know, how great would that be? It's not that different from some of the other instances. Nax, for example,
mm-hmm.
you're going through corridors, you're fighting in areas, the mobs are floating around, wandering on their pre-assigned path. The mini bosses could be whoever was holding whatever city you're taking. We could have a whole series of reclaim the cities. We would have to scale back some of these cities. I mean, obviously, we're not going to be able to take Stormwind with only 5 people. We'd need like 4 raid groups at least to secure the entire city.
5 people could do it.
5 epic people.
Well, I know at least one, me.
5 pallies.
Yeah. Yes.
Anyways,
5 pallies could do it easily.
5 pallies could do it. One take, one heal, and 3 other
and nothing
guys
but cloth drops.
And all cloth.
Sit on that.
Cloth and daggers.
For yes.
Anyways, I would like to see that as an instance. And if we were attacking Stormwind, then if you want to put, you know, Hellscream as the guy that is holding Stormwind, and we're liberating Stormwind from Hellscream, or we could make the Forsaken. I mean, if we're going to be possibly following the idea of the fall of Sylvanas for the X-Pack, then it would fall within the scope to have her suddenly appear in one of the cities, and we have to go and get her, mm-hmm. and say either we're going in to sort of try and talk sense into her, or in the eventual... or in the eventuality that logic doesn't work, then we got to kill her. And, you know, I think that it would be really great to have that kind of a feel to it, where it really feels like you're rushing from one battle to the next. And after the battle, after the smoke clears, you know, then the ability to, okay, catch your breath, let's, you know, get everything ready, get your mana back, and boom, we're right back at it again.
Mm-hmm.
I love those kinds of mm-hmm. the feels on the Halls of Reflection and the Pit of Serum. And it's like one gauntlet after another, mm-hmm. with a little tiny break in the middle. And I enjoy those immensely. I really like those because it forces the 5 people to really work together. You can't have one person carrying the other 4 through. And there's too many instances out there right now where it feels like the tank and the healer are pulling everybody else through. Or
yeah, pretty much. Yep.
The DPS is pulling the tank and the healer through. There's
one DPS doing 3 times the damage of the other two.
Of everybody else.
Yep.
Yeah. And I just think that, you know, if we're going to have that kind of an instance, then let's have them where we're really pulling through. And it's fun to do an escort quest where the person you're escorting, the toon you're escorting, doesn't walk like they have no legs.
Or walks into the mobs.
Do we all remember that guy that at the beginning of Wailing Caverns who used to take forever? Follow me. I'm going to
click. Oh my gosh. Here's two raptors.
He was stuck in a temporal
zone. Anyway, yes.
I can remember following along behind him. Just come on already. You know what? Exactly. Screw this. Let him die in the Emerald Dream. I don't even care anymore.
Yeah.
So they fixed him, by the way. He doesn't putter along anymore.
He runs now, yes.
He books on to the next spot. So it was fun to do the Undercity one where we're attacking Undercity and we're being led by a named NPC. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that it would appeal to both factions because now it doesn't matter what instance you're running. You're liberating a city one way mm-hmm. or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that would be really great. And Undercity, obviously, is my first choice because that's the city that really lends itself best to this kind of an idea. It's not that big. It's fairly small, fairly compact. And, you know, it's laid out in a fairly straight line. You know, you start off at the elevator tubes.
Ironforge would be the same.
Ironforge. Mm-hmm. They'd have to shorten up where you go in Ironforge because it's spread out quite a bit. But you know, Thunderbluff is another one. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not huge. It would be a great instance. And that takes on the feel of an outdoor instance.
Mm-hmm.
If you think of Zul'Farak.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, and I think that would be a lot.
That would be interesting, yeah.
Interesting.
Absolutely. All right, well, I think that concludes that topic.
Well, that's where we're going to conclude that.
Yeah, I mean, we could talk about this for hours.
For hours.
And get quite boring, so we'll try and stave that off and not be boring. So.
Yeah.
We're not boring at all. Anyway, moving on to Diablo 3. Because I know everybody's sitting on pins and needles waiting
for my
update.
That's what they've been waiting for. That's
why
they sat through all of this.
I know. It wasn't that that teaser Wrathgate photo that I posted up on Facebook and Twitter the other day. That had nothing to do with it. Anyway, the Diablo 3, I finally killed Diablo.
Woohoo!
Yes.
Do the cheering.
Yes, I can now do heroic mode. And it punts you right out. As soon as you kill him, you cash in your quest and says, hey, click OK to end this game. Punt. You get the closed movie and you're out. That's it. Now suddenly everything's heroic mode. Which is, you know, fine. One thing I will say about this, though, that Act 4, wow. What a great twist. I love where they went with that story.
What a twist.
Yep. I told you I'd talk about the twist thing at the end. Honestly, I did not see Act 4 coming. I mean, all the way along, you're killing these lead demons, and very little mention is made of Diablo himself. And it's not until, and at least for me anyway, other players may be listening going, what? I saw that right away. It was obvious, blah, blah, blah. Perhaps I didn't see it. We get to the very last little bit of Act 3, and all of a sudden, bam, huge twist, and that opens up the whole game again for me, and I just loved it. I thought it was excellent and very well done. So having defeated Diablo and gotten kicked out of the game, not out of the game entirely, but back to the menu screen, I started another character. So now I'm rolling a barbarian, and hopefully to clear out a few things in my bank that I've been saving up for them. And I think that's pretty much where I'm at right now.
That's a good update.
Yeah.
The exact phrase that was used when Shakti first came upon Diablo was, he is a worthy opponent.
He is. He really is. It took me some time to kill him.
I had
him.
To laugh about that one.
I got to say, though, I mean, this game does nothing if not teach you how to play these bosses. Because, honestly, if you're a player that likes to stand in fire, you will die. There is no standing in fire in this game. The minute you're standing in anything, green, red, whatever color it is, you're going to die.
So the new WoW raid trainer will be Diablo 3.
Exactly.
Please don't stand in the fire.
Get out of it. Move fast because it hits you hard. The other thing that, and this is just, for me, the reason why it took me, it didn't take me forever to kill Diablo. I think I got him on try number 6, I think. The reason why it took me so long to get it down was not because I was standing in fire, because I would try and run from that as often as possible. And
run
he does have an awful lot of fire. He is a, you know, big old demon after all.
What?
Imagine that for the Lord of Hell. Anyway, it was because I cannot kite. It's not something that I've learned to do. I know how I'm supposed to kite. I can't kite. I don't kite. I'm one of those players that likes to stand there and just wail on the boss. Just put him right there. Don't move him. I'm good.
Not an ambi kiter.
I'm not a kiter at all, ambi or not. So, I mean, I really had to learn to kite him around, and I mean, especially as a ranged. I mean, I was playing a freaking wizard, so, you know, I should be able to stand back and toss a few spells
at
him.
Lob some fireballs.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's one thing that this game does, is it certainly teaches you these aspects. So I'm looking forward to getting this done on heroic mode and see how that changes things a bit, so... That's my D3 update for the week.
Excellent. And next week, we'll be talking about Inferno mode.
No, we won't. This game has been
out. Okay, folks, I tried. I tried to get that in for you.
It's been out for now, what, a month? And I just now got to level 31, I think, and downed it. So, yeah, I'm a little behind, but we'll get there. All right?
It's the fun, right?
Yeah.
And so the fun is going to be doing heroic mode. And finding the differences between heroic mode and the original. And now, I may be incorrect on this because there was one other time when I was incorrect. It's the repeat of the same thing. You're just doing it again, only now it's harder.
As far as I understand it, yeah. Now, there is a hidden level, apparently, that I have not discovered. I don't know if it's something
it's
that...
cow level.
Well, it's not the cow level. D2
nope.
had a cow level.
No,
this one, I guess, has a pony level.
My Little Pony, My Little...
yeah, something...
That's for you, Storm.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Anyway, there is a level that I have not found, and I've read about it, and it's on the Diablo Wiki, and I went to the wiki long enough to not spoil it for myself, but rather to confirm its existence. So that's my thing now, is I need to find that level. I don't know if it's on heroic mode or higher, but I did not find it on normal mode. So if it's on normal mode, hopefully I'll find it on another tune and complete that, because I'd like to see it. But otherwise, moving right along. All right. So with that...
And to date, I still have not logged in and played Diablo 3.
He is not enough.
And I got to be honest now, I'm starting to be kind of proud of that fact, because...
Yeah.
Despite so many
having
other
the
people,
game.
I have the game. I have it installed. It's on my game. It's in my room. I'll go get it. We'll play it together. It will be fun.
I would love that. No. Go for it.
No. I would not enjoy it.
All right.
So, quick review of our episode today. We talked about our favorite quest lines, and we both agree Wrathgate.
The
must-see quest line in the game. It is a big, long quest line, be prepared. You are going to be going from one zone to another, back and forth. There are multiple in-road starts. You start one on the west map in Borean Tundra. You start one on the right in...
Howling Fjord,
and it goes into Venom Spite and comes in the other side to Agmar's Hammer. And then they wind up going to Wormrest Accord.
Mm-hmm.
Correction, Wormrest Temple, and points north, and then back out into the sides and everywhere all over the map. But it is an excellent quest line, and if you read the text and if you get involved in the story, you'll really enjoy the movie at the end is worth it.
It really is.
So the second part, go out and quest. Go quest. Read the quest text. Enjoy the color that's in there and the humor that's in there, because Blizzard has always had a very good sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
What was it? Harris Pilton and her
gigantic egg. She's still there.
She's still out there.
Yes.
and Barrio Metalli.
Yeah. Stormwind has all these famous chefs, and we get, I don't know, some guy named Zugzug.
Zugzug.
I don't know what his name is.
He was big in Europe.
Yeah, maybe.
anyways, yeah, so get out there and do some quests and do that. So I think that wraps it up for us.
Yep, it certainly does. So if you have any comments or questions, feel free to contact us. You can visit us on our blog at rollingforloot.blogspot.com. You can find us on our Facebook page as Rolling for Loot, or on Twitter as @RollingForLoot.
Thanks for listening. I'm Himotep.
And I'm Shakti.
See you next time.
Hello.
Hello. And welcome to the middle of the film.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I tell you, what's with some of these people?